This episode is brought to you in partnership with Facebook.
My name is Michael Coates, and I'm the co-founder of two veteran-owned organisations. And these conversations are dedicated to supporting the crosshair where business meets the military.
This is the one we speak to veteran-owned small business. We speak about community, growth, and social media with Blown Away, Combat Pest Control, Contact Coffee, and Hidden Valley Bushcraft. This is part of the Declassified Network, and this is the Forces Friendly podcast. Contact Coffee, why did you initially start the business?
Basically, it was initially we were fed up of going on exercise or operations and just being forced to drink sort of like crap freeze-dried coffee all the time. Like, we didn't see why we had to automatically just see ourselves off just because we were away. Yeah. So it's all about making yourself comfortable when you're in these sort of situations. So that's basically where it came from, turning up to like a wet boat or the army equivalent. What's the army equivalent?
Brew table.
And just turning up and just expecting to drink this rubbish coffee for like 10 days at a time or operationally like 6 months at a time. Mm. I had the idea once I was away, came back from tour, bumped into Nick, sort of said my sort of idea, and he'd been thinking about something similar. So we looked into it. Was there anything in the UK? We were aware of like some American companies that had done it, but there was nothing in the UK. So that was our sort of, we saw the gap, and then that's where we sort of went from there.
And what was the process then? So, because you're still serving,
yeah.
Like the process of that then from start to finish. So the idea came up,
yeah.
And then what was next? Because obviously you've got to implement certain things then, yeah. With any business.
Well, that's the thing. We didn't know anything about business, so we probably did it totally the wrong way. If you went to anyone who was business minded, they'd say, right, you need to start with this and that. And we'd probably just do it backwards. So the first thing we did was set up an Instagram page and just started advertising a business that really didn't exist. And then sort of went backwards and were like, oh, we need to get some products. And then, oh, actually, we need to like register the business. And it was just the wrong way to do things. And looking back now, if I was to do it tomorrow, we'd do it totally different. But I think that's where we made the mistakes and we sort of learned from that now.
Yeah. So go on then.
Learning curve.
And I'd contest that. I think that's probably a good way of doing things. You know, like you created the brochure, you created the product without investing in any product.
Yeah.
It's a very entrepreneurial way of looking at things and thinking about things. You know, why invest in 500 t-shirts and 1,000, tons of coffee bean when you don't have to?
Yeah.
And you created that Instagram account. And then off the back of that, what was the need then? What was the kind of... was there an outcry for it? Was there a desire to get involved from your followers on Instagram?
Oh, okay. We sort of put the idea out there, I think, just to sort of test the water. And then with that first initial like Instagram page, a lot of people were like getting loads of interest and stuff. And it was like a sort of bit of a hype because people were aware of like the American brands. And then the fact that there was a UK one coming up, which is obviously going to be 3 times cheaper to buy than it would be to get from the States. I think people were more excited, and if anything, they were pushing us to do it and do more into it. So when we started with one coffee and one T-shirt, within a month or two, we were going on to 2 blends and then doing different colour T-shirts, and then from there, it just sort of grew and grew. So I think it's a combination of everyone else pushing us, as well as us both being keen and sort of having that drive to sort of carry it on.
Mm. And do you have any... is there any difficulty setting business up specifically when you're still serving?
We were, so a few months in, when it did start look like it was getting serious, we touched base with the hierarchy on camp, had a bit of a sit down, and as long as we didn't jeopardise ourselves or compromise the unit that we're serving at, then they're more than happy to do it. We just have to be careful about certain things that we post and how we sort of express ourselves, and views as well being a big one. We have to be quite neutral, which I think we're doing quite well.
Mm. I mean, you're neutral, but there's certainly a kind of brand image which we'll go on to later. Si, when was the first time you spoke commercially?
It was a nice one. I went to Software AG in Germany, and they flew me over to Frankfurt. And I remember actually being really nervous because I was on my own. I was walking around the place on prosthetic limbs. I didn't take a wheelchair with me. So I flew in, stayed in a hotel, where the actual talk was happening. I stayed there for 3 days, didn't actually leave the hotel once. And in hindsight, I wish I'd gone visiting Frankfurt and stuff like that. But I was on my own. It was kind of like a leap into the unknown, really. And did the talk. It was an amazing experience. And that was where it really all kicked off for me, really, I suppose.
And why, though? What was the commercially? Not non-commercially. What had you done before that to get to that point? So speaking commercially and getting paid for it is totally different to starting out and trying to kind of get...
So before that, I'd done a lot of presentations, and it was on behalf of other organisations, so mainly other charities or service charities. So you're doing it for their benefit, so it wasn't for my benefit. Mm. And you could, I earned my stripes doing that. Although I wasn't trained by them, that came a lot later. It was all being sort of carted out and put in front of a group of people to talk about something else other than, well, I was talking about myself, but also about that the organisation that I was there to support.
So the commercial model, because you obviously spoke about your injury, how you got your injury, then the kind of adversity and the kind of daily struggle, daily challenges, I suppose. Yeah. But then commercials are different.
Yeah, it is.
Because they're going to want something more than you just talking about you getting blown up in Africa.
Yeah, yeah. And then I had to develop really quickly because, if I'm honest with you, like that Software AG one, it could have been better. It was my first one, and I think I've got a recording of it somewhere. I can't remember if it's a video or an audio recording, but I don't want to watch it again because it was pretty awful. But I'm not showing you, Marco, either.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, actually, I learned quite a lot just from that first one. And I knew that I had to drill down a little bit deeper and pick at the surface about what I was delivering and what I was saying.
And, kind of trial and error. So before you went to commercial, was it an insurance company? What was it?
So Software AG, they're a bit like IBM.
Right. And then how did you then... almost the aptitude then to take what you'd learned from one speaking and then to all your experience into something that they would kind of use and package and get value from?
What, this first company or later on? So I don't even know how they found me. I think I just released my website and it was, I don't even know how they got a hold of me. It was that long ago. But I had to come up with something that, I had a narrative and there was a story to be told in there. But at that point, I didn't realise you need to really be obvious. You need to be so black and white about what you're saying. So if you're talking about resilience, for example, you have to really spell everything out. There can't be any ambiguity. And I think that was one of the biggest lessons I learned.
In the pitch to them or into the actual talk?
I didn't pitch to them. I was just booked by another organisation to go there. They booked organisation booked me, and then I went there.
Have you, at that early stage, financially, getting a commercial kind of gig like that, was you awkward with it?
I was, because you kind of, I've spoken about this once or twice before, it's that whole imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're going to get caught out. And I think actually, people in the military, when you mention imposter syndrome and what it is, i.e. the fact that at some point you're going to get caught out and found out, and you're going to be ridiculed out of the services, I think a lot of people don't admit it. They don't actually acknowledge it as something. I think... that's what I suffer from a little bit, that you're going to get found out and not asked to do anything ever again.
Everyone's doing it.
I'm going to do it.
Everyone is doing it. Everyone thinks they're going to get found out.
But I think it's a big thing in the military, and people don't... They either don't know it exists, they don't know everybody else is thinking that.
Yeah. The one thing is, I think when you're in, everyone's got the same value. You can go, you're level this, or you're graded at that. But then when you leave, especially when you start a business or you're doing your own thing, whether it's an enterprise or community interest company or social, whatever it is, you don't understand the value because you've always played off the same kind of level.
Mm. And there's no bluff too tough, is there? In the in the forces.
Exactly. We all just do it. In fact, if anything, you become a master at it.
Yeah.
So you become a master at almost blagging it and then figuring it out and learning as you go. So very good at that. Like the veteran community with business is very good at figuring things out, of problem solving, working together and kind of...
But the other thing,
sharing value.
But the reverse of that is the fact that everybody thinks, whilst they're doing that job, that nobody could possibly replace them.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of...
Yeah.
It's a flip, isn't it?
Yeah. And we spoke before about people actually caring about you. They care in business. They care about what you're going to be able to provide them or how you're going to make them feel. They don't really care about you. You're going to make them care in some way. And often, especially in a transaction where it's commercial like that, when you're on stage... and they're paying you good money to stand there and speak, you've got to be able to articulate and get across, real value and almost so they're going away and talking about it elsewhere. And why has it been so important then with regards to speaking specifically?
Well, you could argue it's... I thought about this. One, there's a whole bunch of different reasons, but one, I suppose, it has helped me mentally talk about stuff. And actually, it really helped me turning it into a joke because, I talk about certain elements of my story which are pretty unpleasant, but I just turn it into a joke. So actually give everybody else a little bit of a release, a little bit of a pressure cooker release, really, so they don't have to dwell on some of it too much. Because it's all right giving them that part of it, but I don't want them to have to... take that bit away with them. So if I turn it into a joke and make it funny, then it kind of makes me more... I'm happier with it that way.
Yeah.
But then, the other thing is, obviously, I needed something to support my family as well.
Mm. Well, it's true. I think you've got to look after yourself first, first and foremost, and then look after other people. And then, Nick, right, with what you're doing now... with Hidden Valley Bushcraft, do you feel like you're making a positive impact?
Yeah, massively now. That sense of purpose and that identity that I was scrabbling for when I first left has now been filled. That position is now taken. And I feel like we're really giving value back in every aspect of what we're doing.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
And what about yourself, though? I tell you what, in this case, explain roughly what you do.
Okay. So we're a bushcraft company. We teach wilderness living skills we work with young children. We have a toddler group on a Monday morning. We run a woodland kindergarten. Okay, so that's like one of the banners of the business. Okay, so separately trademarked is the woodland kindergarten. 50 weeks of the year, 3 to 5 year olds in the outdoors in our woodland. And they're getting the best start before going to primary school. Those kids are completely in the outdoors and all the lessons that come with that, and that sort of very much sort of Scandinavian forest school, true forest school style. So they're getting that. And then for the older kind of groups, we have sort of bushcraft, family bushcraft days, corporate team building type days. And again, there's lots of subtle things that have to happen when you're in the outdoors. That you're working as a team. It's almost team building without team building. You don't even know you're doing it. So that's pretty important. And then obviously there's the veteran thing. The Wooden Warrior Program, working with injured veterans. And that's just my little way of giving back to a system and using the outdoors to do that in the way that it's helped me.
Well, I think it's almost full circle, knowing more about the company than just what you said there. But
yep.
So I'll ask the question again.
Sorry.
Because I think it's important there.
Okay.
So the what is the actual positive impact? Let's say the children.
Yeah.
Give me something tangible. Like, is it confidence building?
Communication? Okay.
What
right.
Is
so
going
it's,
on
it's
there?
Confidence and resilience are the two key parts that they're taking away. You've got little children who are 3 to 5 years old who come to us. And they are, they're a little child and they're still learning, they're developing at such a pace, but they still need help with their gloves, their coats, everything has to be thought through for them, By the time they leave, we've got kids going to primary school who can already put their own coats on, decide when they need to put a hat on and take it off, or they're completely au fait with being soaked through to the skin and they're drying out by the fire. They've been cooking things, they've been working as a group to chop up vegetables and making soups on a daily basis. Every single day they're they're pushing their own little boundaries, they're climbing trees, they're doing everything that we'd all love in an ideal world for our children to do. To be able to provide that, for me, that's brilliant. Mm.
And then, so then your own kind of emotional tank.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not going to go into your backstory.
No, sure.
But it's full of trauma and conflict, which we'll get onto.
Yeah, there was some...
But the how does impacting someone else, like children, for example...
Well, I think...
And then is again, like, impacting you... emotionally,
oh, hugely,
fill you up,
hugely,
like,
so
that meaning.
I think and again, without going into that stuff, you know, there was some stuff there that involved little children of around that age. It was just awful stuff, and this is kind of, like you say, coming full circle, and it's almost never going to change what happened back then, but it's making me feel, it's filling up that part of me that I still struggled with and wanted to somehow. You know, I couldn't do anything at the time. I had no control over that situation. But now I do have some sort of say in these children and their future, and with my team of teachers, and our staff members are amazing. Then we can really ensure that they've got their best foot forward going into this big, bad world.
Mm. Mate, it's an amazing thing, especially to have that initial kind of that touch point with the kids and any bit, you know, like I said, in an ideal world, all kids would be running around. Like, yeah. I've done everything I can as a dad to ensure that happens.
Sure.
Although we're hundreds of miles apart, you know, this stuff's going on. And it's so important, like the happiness and confidence and, like I said, communication when they're outside in the open. Yeah. Problem solving is, like, unreal as well.
Yeah, that's another massive part of it.
Yeah. Andy, what's your... Briefly describe your back story and then what you're doing right now.
Yeah, so after I left school, I went to college, joined the army, served for 9 years, came out, went to live in New Zealand for a period of time, teaching people taking people on tandem skydives, which was pretty amazing for a few years. But I knew that at some point I really had to think about my education. So I came back to the UK after getting married. Went to university, got a degree in business and marketing, and then built a second career. So ended up, you know, having the privilege of working at Google. I'm now working at Facebook. I've been here pretty much for 4 years. Mm. And what was kind of interesting for me is that, like, the Facebook mission was evolving, and it was very focused on building community. And the second thing is that, you know, we're very focused as a company on helping small to medium enterprises grow. And, you know, for me, I've been away from the military community for a period of time, which I, you know, I missed having that connection. And I actually thought, like, this is a real opportunity to reconnect to the community and do something good. Mm. Because one of the things that I realised from working with, you know, a few military charities was that actually there's a real lack of skills in digital marketing, and it's changing so quickly. You know, it's complex. There's a lot to know. And it's, you know, if you're running a business, it's very difficult to, you know, to have the time to learn all of those skills. But there are definitely best practices, which I know if we could pass those on, you know, to veterans or people from the armed forces community that were working in digital media, were running a business or a charity, that would really help them achieve their objectives. So that was really the, you know, that's really where this came from.
What you're seeing from veteran-owned businesses, and in fact businesses within the military community as well, because I'm not ruling out kind of businesses and companies owned by spouses and some dependents as well. But what are you actually seeing then?
So I think what we see is that there's a lot of traits from people that have served or been around the military that actually make them ideal for, you know, for starting businesses and succeeding. So, you know, there's a lot of drive. There's a lot of energy. I think, you know, people come out and actually they have some great ideas. They want to be able, in many ways, to give something back. Because, you know, we all share this, I guess, you know, this value in service. But obviously, it's also, you know, I think to the point that, you know, Jerry made earlier, it's like, it's actually very easy to start a business now. So whereas years ago, you know, you'd have to go out and research all your product. Actually now, you know, you could advertise on Instagram and get real-time feedback. So you don't have to literally invest, you know, thousands of pounds now. It's actually very easy to start a business. And I think that's a great leveler. And again, you know, I just see, you know, a lot of opportunity for, you know, people that are leaving the services or, you know, veterans that are maybe looking to do something on their own.
Mm. I think a lot of it is like permission based. People don't feel like they're allowed to do something, or they have to ask someone to do something. When in fact, like, you've just got to go and do it. Like, figure it out, figure the purpose and your meaning. Like, those that are served or still serving are very purpose and objective led, you know. Like, if we've got a reason to do something, you know, you don't sign up for the money. You know, same with like the fire service and the police. You don't sign up for that. You sign up for a reason. And generally, you know, a high percentage of the time, that reason is to do something good with what you're doing. So that crossover between, you know, leaving and then starting a business, I feel like we can really use business as a source for good, whether that's the product, whether that's the way you operate, or whether that's providing something for somebody else, in a community that you're never going to impact or even see. Which leads me then to purpose and meaning and almost that community. How did you create something then? I know we touched on it earlier on, but how did you, like, the practical side of things, make people feel like they're part of something? Because you look at your Instagram,
yeah,
it's very branded for you. I know exactly that that's a Contact Coffee kind of Instagram post. Mm. But then you get people posting stuff for you as well, with their T-shirt on, with your coffee cup, or, you know, drinking a cup of tea, or commenting, like I've done it.
Yeah.
How did you do it?
I think it's been part of that community. Again, like, the majority of our customers are based are either military or military enthusiasts or ex-military. So all used to or want to be part of that sort of community. So we'd start doing these posts and stuff, and then we realised from just experimenting, we were getting more feedback, more activity in our posts if we were just sort of being ourselves, just being one of the lads behind the phone. So if we were to do a more serious post about a product, very like in your face, buy this, it wouldn't get much traction. But you post sort of like a tongue-in-cheek post, quite funny, a bit of military humour behind it, and it'd just be like comment after comment and people sort of joking around it. And we get so much feedback from people saying, oh, my dad used to be in the forces, and he reads your post and he's like laughing all the time and stuff like that. And that's where it sort of comes from. And then people relate to that, and they see our logo, and then they want to sort of show people that they're helping support.
Yeah. Do you think it is that? Do you think it is helping support? Or I'm not questioning you on that, but I think there's something deeper in that. I think it's a belonging of people.
Yeah.
Like, to be part of, you know, like, without sounding a cliche, but like a tribe of something, like wearing the T-shirt, it looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we drink coffee, feel good. And then I think the clever thing you've done is linking the military coffee and then the kind of crosshair between that and exercise.
Yeah.
And that I feel is really like the clever bit.
Yeah.
Just by looking at it from the outside in.
Yeah.
How would you do that, like, with the exercise stuff? What's the kind of thought process around it?
I think whether it's just from our sort of our military background, but we're really like keen on phys. So the majority of people that are in the military are normally quite physical, like enthusiasts. So it's just sort of like tying it in, because again, you go on these exercises, operations, and that, the only thing that's getting you through when you've got downtime for 12 hours, 24 hours at a time is doing fitness. So tying that in and using coffee as sort of a pre-workout and combining it both, and it's just, it goes hand in hand, we think.
Mm.
It's just, it seems to work quite well.
Si, what's the kind of immediate future for Blown Away?
Mine's a bit of a funny one, really, because I just kind of, it's kind of like flying by the seat of my pants. And just seeing how things work out. But I know you're going to beat me up for saying this, but I'm really trying hard to put words on a piece of paper and try and write a book.
Yeah.
It might come out after I'm dead, mate. My parents, you know, my kids might complete it for me. it's, I don't know, I'm struggling with it because actually you don't, I'm still hung up, maybe I'm hung up on that why would anybody want to read about Psy?
Yeah.
I don't know what the block is, but I'm getting stuff I'm getting stuff written down, but it's a challenge and my crayon keeps running out.
Because you can speak, no problem. Like, you've developed your speaking, like, probably better than anyone else I know in the kind of military circuit, where you can adapt it to different businesses, whether that's a professional rugby union team, or whether that's a local school, or whether that's, you know, a social media giant like Facebook or Google. Like, you can adapt what you've got and add value continuously. And so do you feel like the book is like a block, or are you looking at it as a way of therapy?
Do you know what? It's also because you don't want it to fail. I think perhaps that's what it is. Because, you know, you've written something and it's a tangible thing. And perhaps it's because when somebody else picks it up, they can really red pen it and decide that it's not very good.
Yeah. Although, I'm not going to get into this now, but you are full of, like, it will be good. Episode 2 of the Forces Friendly podcast, mate. We're going to book writing with Geraint Jones. The full episode, just for you. I don't know how to do it. But it is like, look, you look at your injury, look at what you talk about, that initial kind of steps from speaking and then going into the commercial side of things. Like, your continual story is very emotional for you. Like, it's emotive, like, and that process will just take time. But is that... Look, go away from the book for the side, because you do publish a lot. Like, a lot still comes out, and with the side of like the speaking kind of side of things, are you promoting yourself and getting yourself out there more?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I could argue another block I've had. I don't particularly like putting myself in front of the camera. You know, I don't do that very much. You know, where some of my mates do it a lot, I very rarely do it. I don't really do any pieces to video. And I know I should be doing more of that, but then when I'm sat there, I'm like, I've got really nothing to say, and then I just put it back in my, you know. So that side of stuff I struggle with as well.
Yeah, but so my point being there is, let's focus on the stuff you are doing, and you get out, and you still speak for free, and you go and do a lot of like community stuff.
Yeah,
and. Off the back of that, are you seeing kind of a take up with more corporate?
Yeah, I think so. And a company actually local to me called Diametric, they produced my little key rings for me. And they've really kind of like worked somehow. I think it's because, you know, obviously there's something tangible, but also they're quite tactile. And basically what it is, it's just some prosthetic limbs put into the old...
Airfix.
The Airfix sort of plastic moulding stuff. Because when I was in hospital, that's what it felt like, right? What's next for me? You know, which ones am I, you know, which prosthetics am I going to be choosing or are going to be chosen for me, as it were? So that was kind of where that idea came from. And it's, but so I give out those all the time. And they seem to be working quite well.
Yeah. Nick, again, we touched on it earlier on, but, you know, I speak about, like, the growth generation a lot. I believe that, you know, this group of individuals, and there's a lot of us that have experienced conflict, especially in the last kind of 15 years. But also there's, like, mentors like Andy and you know, mutual friends of ours, Simon, and there's a lot of other people around that are mentoring and making sure that people achieve. I think it's really, really important, and that people are aware of that. You know, this growth generation, off the back of trauma and conflict, and how is your, kind of your world view, how has your kind of business view of things changed because of?
Yeah, I think so. So when we started out, it was more about, well, I don't think the business idea came after, but essentially me being in the woods and doing what I'm doing now was just more about getting through day to day and lifestyle. That then became a business, and then that initial business idea was just to, and still is part of our ethos, which is providing high quality stuff for small small numbers, you know, high impact. That's then obviously spilled into the whole peer-to-peer thing, which we're now seeing the power of. And talking about growth, growth generation, everywhere you look, it seems to be prevalent at the moment. That it's not just me, it's not just I, it's, there's so many of us in that veteran community which are all now supporting each other. But the power of peer-to-peer seems to be coming really to the forefront now, whereas before it was like only a select number of big charities you would have to go to for help, and you'd have to basically pick and choose, and then you'd go through a set process of. And now there's many, you know, there's many ways to skin a cat, and people are leaning towards, like you just said earlier, before we started this, you mentioned somebody had got in touch with you privately, and that then led to you helping them in a totally different way. Yeah, that's a really good example. But in terms of us and our business, we started off providing bushcraft stuff, and now we're kind of, that's spilled out into helping people in many other ways, more on the sort of well-being side of things and wellness, and learning to manage maybe stuff that they're struggling with through some of the activities that we provide in the outdoors. So we're empowering them to have the skills to then go and do that. They don't have to come and see me.
Yeah.
To specifically spend time with me to do that, because once they've got that skill set, you know, they're going away with something for life that they can then carry on and might turn into a whole hobby or an interest or something that they can lose themselves into. Carving seems to come to mind straight away, but you know, there's loads of
hand carving.
Taking a raw piece of lump of wood that would only be good for the fire, you know, particularly with all those kind of fungal attack and wormholes and stuff like that, and turning it into maybe a sort of Swedish finished like Kuxa cup. You know, this really nice large bowl with a funky handle, knobbly handle cut in. They're really popular at the moment, and lots of people are asking to come and make them. And in doing that, busy hands for a quiet mind, I think is the way I'd probably put that across.
And obviously your business and then the stuff you're doing there with the kind of veteran community as well is very much on the lines of improving and maintaining good mental health, management of good mental health.
It's that same thing again, confidence and resilience. Same as the children, to a degree. They're taking different parts of that, but again, for the veterans, and finding that sense of purpose and identity, it gives them the time to take a metaphorical knee while they work out what their next move is. Because, of course, I don't want to clone 10,000 bushcraft fanatics.
That'd be bad for business.
But what I do want to do is I want to invite them into rediscovering the green space and realise that the field isn't the field. You know, kind of our experience as veterans of the field is quite classically cold, wet, tired. There's certainly not any having a fire. It's all very tactical. It's all very low, you know, tarpaulins or ponchos set really low and digging out a bowl in the ground and sleeping in that as it usually fills with water and all that sort of stuff. Flipping that on its head and showing them a whole new side of enjoying the outdoors.
And outdoors being so important, like an important element?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. For 80,000 years, we've sat around a campfire, talked, shared our story, problem solved. You know, everything's kind of happened in that setting. Evolutionary, we speak about evolution, I'm only designed to take in fire and daylight. Mm. You know, as amazing as the world of technology is, I haven't actually evolved, personally speaking, to take in blue light, keeping me awake and stimulating my brain for hours and on end, long past when I really should be sleeping, when it gets dark. Okay, and then messes your circadian rhythm up, your body's natural rhythm. So then you struggle with sleep, and then that affects your melatonin levels in your blood, and before you know it, you're spiralling out and stressing out about things, and actually just taking them back to that kind of recalibrating. I think, you know, helping people to rewild, recuperate, recalibrate, re-engage is a kind of thing that we're working with.
The technology's got its place.
Oh,
I mean, I wouldn't be able to run
it totally
my business.
We wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, we wouldn't do this. I don't think any of us would be able to run our business.
I don't want to poo-poo technology completely, but...
Oh, no, I'm leading on.
Yeah, so,
I'm leading on, mate. So, like, none of us would be able to... You know, we all use various different softwares, whether it's accountancy. It is primed now. Everything is primed for small business.
Yeah.
And whether that's, you know... Xero, the accountancy software, whether it's, you know, creating a WordPress website for virtually no money. Like
marketing.
Yeah, just getting out there marketing. Andy, tell us a story about why we're all sat here.
Yeah, so we're all sat here because I think we originally, I think, had a conversation going back a few months. Actually, it might have been with Si originally, about the challenge of marketing and learning how to use digital platforms. And then I think, you know, we were introduced. And then, you know, through that, you know, I've met Nick and I've met Jerry. And, you know, I think we realised that there was an opportunity, like, for us as a group to learn more, right? Mm. To get together. And, you know, being here at Facebook, that's one of the ways that I can give back to the community. So, you know, it may start with us, you know, learning more digital skills, and being able to put those into practice. But then again, you know, what will happen is that you guys will go out and talk to other people. So, you know, over time, the community starts to kind of upskill. And then from that initial conversation, you know, we persuaded Facebook to put on this Boost event, which is happening tomorrow in London.
For those listening, 2020, that was last year.
Yeah. You know, we've got essentially tomorrow 350 people from the armed forces community coming into London. We're putting on this event. Obviously, you guys are all participating, which is brilliant, sharing your stories and, you know, some of your learnings. But that's one of the first things that we at Facebook have been able to do for this community. The other side to that is that actually I'm, you know, really pleased to say that we're signing the Armed Forces Covenant tomorrow as well, which again is is another step forward for Facebook. We've still got work to do in terms of overall the armed forces community, whether it's employing more veterans or helping veterans succeed in business. But, you know, we're starting to, you know, definitely to gain traction. Mm. And we've got a very successful program in the US. I think 2% of our employees in the US are registered as veterans. So, you know, we're on a journey, and, you know, I'm really pleased and proud to be really driving that here in the UK. Because, you know, I feel the community have a lot to offer. It's all about playing, you know, it's all about playing a part and giving back in the best way that you can.
Mm. I mean, it makes business sense as well. And to shine examples, like, I mean, we wouldn't all be sat here if it weren't for you and then Si introduced us, and then he definitely got this ball rolling, the initial idea about creating something for everybody and not holding information back. And that, then the podcast kind of happened. How can we spread this out exponentially? How can we get it out to as many people as possible? Like, even like the basic stuff, like what we've talked about today, and then hopefully going forward, we'll carry this on and we'll talk about the kind of intricacies of it, and it'll be certainly niche, but niche is good, you know. Jerry talking then about like a niche audience. You haven't gone off after every single person. You know, you've gone after a group of people that believe in what you believe in, to make it better for everyone. Again, Si's done that with this while we're sat here today. And then, you know, everyone else affecting that and kind of moving us on. I mean, the Armed Forces Covenant and signing that is big, because that's a pledge to the country, really. And it'll be adapted for Facebook. So it's adapted for small business. You know, we signed it and we won the Gold Award in the Employee Recognition Scheme, my company. And then it's what you can do and kind of thinking outside the box. And you can't get 3,000 veteran-owned businesses into a room. You can't do it. Like, we sat a couple of weeks ago, we sat down, we went through Facebook ad, we talked to some of your top people about how to do things and how not to do things, get us out there and set an example. And if we can figure it out, we have a diverse bunch. You know, I run a service business, I run a pest control business, and we've got a bushcraft and a speaking and a commerce business. Like, if we can figure that out and then pass on information in the future, whether it's podcasts or whether it's posts on social media about certain things, then again, that's scalable and we can affect a lot of people then. And then just going off that, the stuff that we learned on that day, what have you gone off and
kind of started implementing with the Facebook ads?
Yeah, so pretty much straight away we sort of jumped straight into it. I mean, we'd been doing it for quite a while.
Yeah, go on, mate.
We've been doing it for quite a while. We thought we were all over it after doing it for 2-3 years. And then the day we came, we probably learned more in that day than we'd sort of self-taught in 3 years. So we just jumped in there, sort of probably made a few mistakes, but obviously with the contacts that he gave us, that Andy gave us, we still got to speak to all the Facebook experts, and just sort of went from there. I mean, we've got like a closed group, like a WhatsApp group with another veteran company, Sinitas Gold,
yeah.
HR4K and Stoic Conditioning. So we just passed on our knowledge through there, started explaining all the stuff that we'd learned and stuff, and they've started implementing it as well. So like I said, I think it's just sort of that word of mouth. If we can get taught it and work it out, we can pass on our knowledge, and it'll just sort of spread throughout the community.
Well, it's like I said, it's software, but it's that business manager, the ad manager, it's so straightforward once you figure out a few things.
Yeah.
Mm. What have you been doing then? What have you actually been implementing? Have you been doing like or different campaigns?
Yeah, so we tried a few. The best one for us was sort of driving traffic to our website and our pages. We toyed with a bit more sort of specific sales advertising. It didn't really work for us, but we were doing posts more sort of interest posts and driving traffic to our Facebook page, Instagram page, people that had never heard of us. And again, even if they're not having a sale, they're becoming part of the community and then the word spreading through them. So for us personally, that's what's working for us best.
What was working? Driving to the website?
Yeah, traffic to the website and to our...
Not directly selling to somebody?
Not direct sales.
Yeah.
We didn't get much back from that, which we thought, being in e-commerce, that's what we need to do, drive the sales. But actually, it's getting the people to come to us, seeing what we're about, and then them selling from there rather than throwing products in the face.
Andy, just before I move to side, where can we get... Because we were just talking about ads and ad sex and campaigns and stuff... Where can we collectively get this information from?
So Facebook have Blueprint.
Yeah.
And Blueprint is available to anybody. And essentially it's an online learning portal. So everything that you really need to know about using Facebook products is really within the Blueprint. Within the Blueprint portal. Mm. And that, you know, could be everything, you know, to Jerry's point, it could be looking at audience targeting, it could be putting the pixel on your site to, how do you do that to enable, different types of audience targeting. It could be how do you produce creative, you know, that's going to drive the highest engagement or whatever your business goal is. So there's lots within the Blueprint portal that... would help you to become skilled and knowledgeable about using our platforms.
We did one where we put stuff out there for like driving traffic and stuff, but because the pest control side of things is not very sexy, we've had to kind of like beef it up a bit. And what we're finding is, because all our guys are military veterans, so images of those guys in uniform. With like some hardcore music and like just keeping it down to about 10 seconds has helped. Like we saw like huge drives into the website, but then again, it's quite service. So like, well, it's not the right, maybe not the right thing. We're not going to directly sell from this. So then we're looking at business to business, which is now gaining a bit of traction. And we've automated a lot of that stuff with a couple of other bits of software, which I'll talk about in a second. But the big thing we've seen from the combat pest control side of things is recruitment. So we started recruiting in East London, and we started dropping almost pins on the locations where we wanted people to be, like, cause that's where we needed the service to be provided in that. We were missing opportunities because we have the back end, we have the systems, we have the training, we have everything else. We just need to put people into places, and we've struggled a bit with recruitment in the past, like everyone does, really.
Mm.
Within a couple of hours of running some, really targeted Facebook ads, I automated. So from there, it went to a form, which was a software called Typeform. And then from Typeform, we automated that to software called Monday.com, which is a project management software. And then from there,
our ear then started making phone calls. But already we'd gathered a lot of information along the way, and that way of recruiting was unbelievable. I'm going to kick myself now if Rentner Kill listen to this, but be all right. They ain't got what we've got.
Just giving it away.
Don't matter. But that way of doing it was great for us. And just being really specific about how and using software and automating as much as possible to rule out any kind of human error was valuable. And then with the declassified podcast stuff, huge engagement with similar kind of videos, like quite edgy videos about the ones that really impacted. We targeted the US and we put kind of ad words like Navy SEAL and military and veteran, and that you know, there was literally across, like, you could see when the ad came on to listener figures, it just went skyrocketed. So I suppose my point there is, if you're running a business, let's say a coffee business, and you start a podcast or you start some kind of media outlet, and looking at a business like a media business, then if you, let's say we start a podcast about creating coffee or making the best coffee in the world or whatever it is, and then using Facebook ad to get people engaged and listening to your voice and learning and building trust over time with a podcast, there's a direct link. Like, I can tell you now, like, you put a few pennies into Facebook and then the output of that is massive. Yeah. Si, what have you been doing with regards to the ads?
So I've, you know, one of my other strings of my bow is I've been working for, this isn't lost on me, the irony isn't lost on me, but I've been working for a shoe company called Thomas Partridge Shoes, and I've been running different ads for them. So my job really is to generate more followers on all of their platforms. So it's not necessarily to sell shoes, although I have been doing that. It's been to generate more noise around their brand, because that's more important to them. So I've been doing quite a lot of that, and it's just been interesting for me to see, you know, I've been doing brand awareness, and I have sort of dabbled in doing other bits and pieces where I've tried to really, you know, direct sale, and actually it comes back to really what Jerry was saying, that sometimes that doesn't always work. Sometimes it's about starting the conversation to build that trust to then make sales.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting where I've, you know, used several different pitches just really at random, and just to see and test what works. And it's just interesting to see what does work and what doesn't work. And yeah, it's fun and interesting at the same time.
What's working then? Is working, are you going really specific in your ad, like the targeting?
Yeah, so I'll specifically market to men of a certain age in the UK who are maybe online shoppers, who maybe they're getting married. So I'll put in engaged, because you can choose that option, like engaged for 3 to 6 months, 6 months to 9 months, 9 months to 12 months. You can be really niche with who you're looking for. Or it could be, you know, at certain times of the year. So, for example, in shoe sales, particularly for men, it's sort of coming into the end of August. So actually, this is the wrong time to be selling shoes anyway, but it's towards the end of August. So men buying shoes actually fits in with the same with the school season, weirdly. Because we're simple like that, aren't we? So, yeah, I've learned quite a lot just from drilling down a little bit.
That's good.
But I think that's really interesting, because like Si's really touched on something there, which is about getting to know your audience. And I think, you know, some of those insights are so critical. And I think that, you know, the nice thing with Facebook and Instagram, that it's very easy to, you know, set up a small campaign with some insights that perhaps you have, and then run it and see how it works. You know, I think if you've got, you know, a clear kind of goal, what do you want the ad to achieve, whether it's, you know, driving traffic or sales or raising awareness, whatever that is, or it, you know, might be getting somebody to sign up for future communication, you know, taking their email address and saying, actually, you know, we're going to keep you updated with our products or whatever it is, or some of the work that, you know, in the workshop that Nick's doing, for example. So, but I think that's one of the, you know, the really important points. It's very easy to set something up on the platform, to take some insights that you have about the audience, to test it and then refine it. Mm. Like, you know, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it perfect. You know, the first time you do it, this is a constant kind of ideation. You know, the more insights you get, test something else, test the targeting, test the creative, and see what results you get.
I think it's true. The, you know, like the recruitment side of things, which is such a success for us, that I was saying to one of the lads the other day, I was like, oh, yeah, it was really easy. And I was like, no, it's not really easy. Like, I've spent countless hours on different bits of software, yeah, testing it. Like, that's not right. And it is all about small business. You've got to get in. You've got to get moving with it. And you've got to test. And the good thing about, and just so we're all aware of you as well, we're not getting paid to sit here by Facebook. This makes business sense to be talking about, you know, targeted marketing. It's business sense. That's why we're doing it. I wouldn't, you know, from a professional point of view, I wouldn't jeopardise anything, you know, professionally. And that's why we're here, to give as much insight as we can to the military community about business. And this does work. And I'm looking forward to the next kind of 2 or 3 months looking at it. And you can see, like, subtle differences as well between, you know, just the wording or the age demographic and all this. It's full of analytics. I suppose finally, Nick, what have you been using it for?
Well, coming away from Facebook with that newfound knowledge, I was, much like Jerry said, I was blown away with how much you can kind of really nail something down. And so for ourselves, we've been using sort of a combination. So we put the pixel into the website for a start. We then did a very targeted ad campaign for a few different bits and pieces, and we saw traffic driven, so talking about those analytics, driven to the website go up by 2,000% or something crazy. And that was just from a couple of really specific ads for a couple of things that we're doing at the moment, and one of them being the business networking, where exactly, as you've just said, that tropic cascade of information. So it's come to me. I'm now sharing some of what I've learned with the veteran community and the wider community. You know, Andy attended and said a few bits and pieces about Facebook, which was really good. We had another chap as well who did a whole thing and a handout on being lean in business. It was like a really well put together little handout that the attendees could go away with, and then they can implement into their businesses as well. So around the campfire, so you're getting a business networking 24 hours with another business, with other businesses that aren't competing with each other. You're getting a well-being course, because of course you're doing all the bushcraft stuff. You're cooking and spending all that time as a group activity. So there's that element of tribe being built there as well, and building those connections and synergies, which might not necessarily turn into pound signs immediately, but the amount of contacts and leg ups and trust. I've got a phone call, building that trust, exactly that. That you can only do on that sort of level of interaction.
And that's all off the back of the ads.
We need to get the people onto the courses, so they've got to see the ad to start with. So we put the ad out, changed some of the wording, and the phone just lit up, you know, the emails were coming in. So it was like, right, okay, cool, we'll get bums on seats, we'll run this course. We've got another one being run whenever it's been, August 31st, 1st of September, so there's the next one coming up. And it's amazing, because I'm staying true to my ethos, I'm still doing all that kind of natural wilderness living skill stuff, but we're now bringing in the business networking element as well. It's just brilliant, really. So that was all off of learning those new skills.
You wouldn't have got it. Like, I deal with different sides of marketing, and one of our marketing budgets is incredibly high with Google. Like, it's very, very high, but it drives a lot to ours, like reactive. Whereas with Facebook, cost is very, very low.
Yeah.
Like I said, we can just pinpoint people.
Power to weight ratio is good there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so much better. And you look at the future, people, there's too much traffic, there's too much noise going on in people. Yeah. Like, you want to try and cut through it.
Yeah.
And almost to compete against someone or have a competitor where you're going, oh, look at me and look at me. You go, nah. Yeah. Let's, before you even get to that point,
sure,
let's make sure there's people in and they know. It's not fraudulent. It's not creating something. Actually, just being able to communicate with someone and see the value in an exchange is really important.
Yeah.
And again, with Facebook ad, or with any targeted ad, you know, you go into a shop or you go into an estate agent or you go into a wherever and just shake someone's hand and go like, oh, this is us. Yep. It's very time consuming. You can't hit 10,000 people at once, whereas this, you can do it. And I think the time is absolutely now to master that skill. Mm. And go, what's the plans for the next kind of 3 months with regards to Facebook and Instagram?
With Instagram and Facebook, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, basically. Like, we sort of stepped back and we're like, well, we're not going to chuck it all in at once. I think we'll carry on doing the driving to the website and social media as opposed to just pushing the sales forward. Mm. We've got a lot of new products coming out in the next 3 to 4 months. So we'll just sort of do a lot of teasing sort of photos and stuff like that and just basically carry on as we were doing.
Yeah.
It's been working for us quite well.
It's exceptional coffee.
Yeah, it's the best, isn't it?
Well, depends on what you give me for free. No, I'm joking.
Always digging.
Yeah. It was a joke before we came on. We were saying about people getting in touch with and saying, oh, well, got anything for free?
Yeah, freebies. Yeah.
Everyone wants to be your mate.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's every industry.
For me, it's still, you know, it's about creating that noise around, well, you know, my brand, I suppose, but also... the other company I'm working with, it's about just generating noise around what they're doing and proving my worth to them on the back of what I'm showing. And just to put it into context, when I first took over at Thomas Partridge, they had 239 followers on their Instagram account. And I started in at the end of April, and I'm just touching on 1,000, nearly to 1,000 followers. It's been graft, but it's been fun along the way. So that's... Mm. Hopefully, in a couple of months' time, it'll be, you know, 4,000. Let's hope.
And I think your following. Imagine if you had 1,000 followers physically, like
it'd be irritating because I'm room. Really sick.
Yeah.
Walk around following you.
People who really wanted to like buy off you or you know hear what you said. It's a big chunk of people, and to be able to have that, especially if the product is slightly more expensive or you know not a kind of. You know, it's not throwaway money, you know, like it. Mm. And it's really important to build gradually and to build a solid group and a base instead of a bot. Don't pay anyone to get you 5,000 followers or anything. It's ridiculous. I'd rather have one person that'd communicate with you and interact with you than a 10,000.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think buying people or being in a, in a pod, I don't think it works at all because you're not getting real information back about what you're delivering.
It's false as well. And going off what Andy said a second ago, collecting data. People think Facebook is just a data collection and they don't share the wealth. But if you're clever about it, a Facebook ad should be making sure you've a retargeting or being able to collect information where you can provide value. And not bombard someone. So giving value and giving information out for free is part of the first part of the ecosystem, and then collecting something is the next part. But obviously, it's going to be high value. Mm. What's the plan going forward?
So we've expanded physically in that we've taken on a new piece of land. So we're going to be moving into stepping things up, expanding the numbers slightly, not going crazy because we want to stay to that good quality. You don't want to just sell out and. But corporate stuff, starting to provide slightly bigger corporate days.
Targeting with Facebook, though, targeting with marketing. Sorry. No, it's all right, because that's all...
Those adverts are literally targeting those groups, so you're going to start to see all that stuff happening. But using Instagram still, as the because it's so visual, to really create those stories that help to build that organic following. You know, people look at what you're doing, they see the human side of it, it's you know, the vulnerability. Sometimes I put on the odd blooper... Yeah. Where it hasn't quite gone right, and that shows it is me. You know, it is me in the woods doing stuff with my mobile phone. I don't get chased around by a camera crew. I'd love to, but no. So I've just got to make it work and show people what we do and how we do our stuff, and then hopefully they'll invest in that. And then, like you say, it might not be a direct sale, but they're then, as Jerry said, they're then part of that community. They're part of your kind of following. And it might lead further down the line to a conversation with a friend who says, do you know what, we're looking to book somewhere at the moment. That sounds ideal. And then it comes in.
When you can articulate your purpose, your meaning, why you're doing what you're doing, and in a very clear and authentic way, which you most certainly do with your you know, mobile phone, not pretending to be something you're not, but adding loads of value all the time. When you can do that and you can get it out to a lot of people that's relevant, then you can really hit on something. Look, gentlemen, thanks so much, and we will leave it there.